It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 626. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message at 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Another jam-packed show. I got, I think, lots of interesting topics. I'm going to talk to you about the consolidating and reducing my expenses here, and a couple really good positive stories that I want to share. And if you're in the situation or you know someone, you might be able to take advantage of some of these. It's all common sense and pretty easy. Want to talk about a server migration that I'm going to be performing on Saturday, and the tools I'm going to be using and what I'm doing and how I'm approaching this and why. I have lots of email. Before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of this show. I live and breathe Instant House Call every day. I use it to connect to several clients every day. My team uses it. You can try it free for 15 days at instanthousecall.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. And something that I've been taking advantage of and I talked about a while ago is the use of subaccounts, where you can isolate a workstation and give a client access just to their workstation, or maybe a couple workstations, and they won't see all of your other clients that you have access. So you can create subaccounts, and that's free and included, and it's something you can actually resell to make some money and actually recoup some of the costs for this. InstantHouseCall.com. Also, check out the link on the left-hand side of the website at MikeTechShow.com. The 2017 Unconvention in Washington, D.C., September 16th and 17th, is only a few weeks away. It's brought to you by Instant House Call and TechSite Builder, where you can build your websites very inexpensively, get them hosted, get it professionally done. The Unconvention is sponsored by Malwarebytes Tech Bench Toolset. It's an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. If you haven't tried that, this is a tool you are going to fall in love with. It is a required tool in your toolbox now for assessing a system, for getting information that you need, and remediating, repairing. It's really what it's an all-in-one tool. And it's using all the programs and on all the information that you're familiar with. Now, Malwarebytes is going to be a guest on my show. We haven't locked in the date. If it's not next week, it's going to be the week after. Before the Unconvention, I'm going to have Alex Smith will be a guest on my show. He'll remotely. And we're going to talk about all things Malwarebytes. We're going to dig deep into the possibly into the tech bench. I have some questions for him. If you have questions for Malwarebytes, send them to me, miketechshow@gmail.com. I will add them to the list, and we will have a great discussion. The whole show will be just Malwarebytes. So I'm looking forward to that. Don't want to forget, you can purchase your tickets. There are still some seats available. Go to www.unconvention.io. You can save $40 by using the promo code MTS. Take $40 off your ticket. The schedule, everything you need is posted at the website. All the information you need, where to get your rooms for a hotel, try to join us. The value of not only the network connections and the vendors and the contacts that you make, but the discussion on how you can improve your business, whether it's pricing, marketing. There's great topics lined up for the labs, for the workshops, and for the general discussions. You're going to really get something out of it. First thing, reducing expenses and why. I have a client that 2 weeks ago let me know, and it was one of my first retainer clients. As a matter of fact, Winston Wolf in the chat came out and we had great stories about me migrating. He helped me migrate the server on a project for this client where we went from SBS 2003 to SBS 2008. And since then, they're now server 2012. We've come a long way. They've been a client of mine for 9 years. They sold the business. And the company that's coming in that is taking over does not agree with IT decisions that have been made by this existing company. And it's going to be very, very interesting. I haven't met the new owners yet. I have the support of the current owners that trust me implicitly. I know they're going to do everything possible. We talked about where they're going to have the right time for me to meet them, but it's very unsure. At the same time, I had another client that has been going through some tough times, and they laid off a lot of people and decided to cut the IT budget. No more IT support. With all of this happening, I started taking a look at my expenses. And then at the same time, for Fios has been dangling 1 gig up and down that I could smell it. I could taste it. I want it. Gigabit internet, gigabit up, gigabit down. I gotta have it. 2 weeks ago, I called Verizon because I've been out of contract for over a year paying full price for my Verizon. And it was really just laziness where I didn't call to try to change the plan or do something. If you're out of contract with Verizon, it's a good opportunity to call them and try to do something. Now, I'm making a change where I'm actually upgrading. I want the faster internet. What will that do to my bill? I really thought it would lower, and it did. It was such a pleasant conversation with the person. It was a Crystal. When she came back on the phone after talking to me, she said, "Where are you taking me to dinner?" And I just started laughing, and I couldn't help myself. I said, "Where are you located?" She said, "Well, I'm located in Maryland." I said, "Why?" She says, "Because I'm lowering your bill by $80 a month, giving you gigabit internet, which will be on tomorrow, if you agree to this, on Saturday. And you're going to keep all of your current packages and everything, but reduce it $80. Wow. That was just amazing. So I was on a roll on that Friday after agreeing to everything. And then they sent the documents and I digitally signed it and made the agreement. It's just incredible. But I will say this. It was like I was a dog chasing a car, and then I caught the car and I don't know what to do with it. I have gigabit ethernet, you know, gigabit internet, and I'm not doing anything different than when I had my 300 meg. So I just thought that was funny. I wanted it, and I wanted it really bad, and I got it. And now I'm like, all right, I'm not really doing anything. So I had to add that. So now my wife has a car that's coming up on a year old, and she had the free year of Sirius XM radio, and she loves it. And they sent me the renewal at half price for all access for her. And I'm like, wait a second. My renewal's coming up for my car, and I want all access, and I'm getting it like list price. It's like twice the amount. I'm going to call them. We're going to bundle this. You know, if you call Sirius XM, they cannot reduce the bill unless you threatened to quit. So I threatened. I said, you know what? If you don't match the offer that my wife got, so you can have two radios here in the house, two all access, then let's just get rid of both of them. They went and connected me to retention. And let me tell you, retention was a very different attitude. How can they help me? Let's see what we can do about reducing the bill. And now, all of a sudden, magically, instead of them losing two radios, I got half price on both. So I'm paying, we both like it. I got to have my Pearl Jam channel 22. I got to have my Lithium channel 34. I got to have my Alt Nation 36. And of course, Sinatra on channel 71. They're my channels. They're my go-to channels. And I don't listen to anything else in the car. I love my XM radio. I love it on my app. And I love that it's merged with Amazon Echo, where I can tell Alexa to just put on any channel that I want. So now I've reduced the bill by half. So I'm really on a roll. My auto insurance is coming up for renewal. My business insurance is coming up for renewal. And I said, you know what? Let me take a look and try to bundle the home, auto, and business. And that's not easy to do because a lot of people can't do that. There were particular carriers that I was interested in that I wanted. And it's interesting because it's the company that I had my current business insurance. But not only did we bundle everything, we've reduced the bill by over $1,000 a year by me bundling my packages like that. So almost $1,000 a year off Verizon, a few, like $300 off on my XM radio, and my insurances are $1,000 less a year. This adds up. And, you know, an interesting comment by Winston, who's in the chat, his company, they're always looking at reducing expenses. And it's something that I've neglected because I've been too busy. And that's something I always want to streamline and continue to aggressively reduce expenses. And that's something that I'm going to do more and keep doing that while I'm also in client acquisition mode now. I got that hunger again, which I think I was too complacent in looking for new business. And so that's something I'm doing. I have a list of phone calls I'm making tomorrow. I'm going to churn and burn, and I'm going to make up for any lost business. I know, I'm confident, I'm not worried, I'm going to get the business. And then I'll tell you how I make out and what I'm doing, because I have a couple strategies I'm putting in place, and I had a meeting today with someone that who I'm going after. I've targeted a particular profession that is a great referral source I am going after. We're talking in the chat about cutting expenses, but that's why I think it's so cool to increase my internet and reduce that bill. Wow, that was a win-win. And that's what we want to do. If we can increase services or maintain it or even improve it and reduce the bill, well, it doesn't get better than that. That's the best way to look at that. Everybody should be in a constant mode of doing that and also constantly looking to acquire more clients. So I have this server migration I mentioned. I have a client that it was way overdue, but the server, the little server that could, an SBS 2003 that I inherited from another IT company that used to support this. It's a hearing aid doctor's office. We know we needed to upgrade the server. We kind of kept it running for as long as we could. There's nothing wrong with the server, but the software that they need to run will no longer work. And we have to run it on a newer, more modern operating system. So this is the time to get away from Small Business Server because they really don't need that. And Small Business Server doesn't even exist now. And there's no way I'm ever going to touch Essentials again. To me, it doesn't even exist. So 2012 standard R2, a new nice little Dell PowerEdge T130, 16 gigs of RAM, and I have the opportunity to set this up from scratch the way I want it. So I created a private network here, and Ken and I yesterday actually set it all up, got Active Directory, the DNS, DHCP. I logged on Instant House Call on a machine onto the server and got the 8 accounts that I needed to create, created the groups, created the shares and the directories. All I need to do is go there Saturday, hook up this server side by side because they're different server names, different domain names, and you sync back Pro to copy the files. While that's happening, my biggest challenge is going to be migrating the profiles. I didn't want to just do a whole domain migration because I didn't want to migrate bad decisions made by the former IT company. I wanted this to be mine from scratch, the way I know to set up a server, and I want everything the way Ken and I set up servers. And it's been a while since I've set up a new server. Wanted to do this exactly where I'm in total control. First, a great email that this is from Dexter, and I thank him. He sent me an email when I mentioned this the other week, a site of IT pro experts that literally the software does the domain migrations. But since I'm not really doing the truly domain migration, I need a profile migration. And this site, which is FORENSIT, that's the company, and they have a utility to migrate the profiles. They have a personal, a professional, and a corporate version. They all do a couple different things. The tech support, they're in the UK. I didn't know which version do I need to buy. I described my situation. I applaud their honesty. The tech wrote back and said, with what I was looking to do, the free version is going to do it for me. He says, you don't even have to buy our professional version or the corporate version. That was amazing because I wasn't sure which version I was going to buy because you have to buy 50 user minimum on the one, or do I buy one technician license? I still may buy the one technician license because there's just a couple features that I might not be doing on this migration, but I would like to have. But that was great and great feedback in just writing them. I actually called them yesterday and there was nobody there to be able to help me, but they gave me the email and said, just email your question. Got like a 5-hour time zone difference. And they got back to me in the middle of the night. You know, when I woke up this morning, the email was waiting for me, and that was really good news. I was very happy to hear that. So I will report back next week on the migration of the profiles, which is going to be really my biggest challenge. Had a great conversation with the hearing aid software that I need to migrate. Getting their tech support, it was such a pleasure. Being able to have good support, it was great. It reminds me of two things that happened this week. I had to do a desktop migration for an old desktop that crashed for a client. And they have this very specific attorney accounting software. And getting that installed under Windows 10 on the new system, I called support. It was so easy. They told me exactly what to do. Stayed on the phone. Walked me through it. It was perfect. Migrated the data in literally minutes. It was great. Then we had the bank check reader that has to communicate with the bank, called the bank's tech support. He remoted in while I was there, and we set it up in like 5 minutes. He downloaded the software. Your user's there to log in, to test the login. We tested a check. It was like, wow, it was a piece of cake. Same thing happened with this software where they told me exactly how to do the export, the import, what I should do for my process. Piece of cake. I now have a list of instructions of what I'm going to do first thing when we hook up the server. the story, the moral here is you got to do your due diligence. You got to snuff out all of the software that could possibly be have to be transferred, and you got to touch base. You got to get all their account information, their login information, if it has it, and you got to reach out to the tech support and tell them what you're doing so you can get information. Now, something that's very common amongst all of these software vendors, they don't work on weekends. None of them. I have not found a vertical market software that works on a weekend. And that's the only time we're doing these migrations. So I'm not worried. And I freed up Monday just in case anything goes wrong. I could be on site and I could make it work with tech support, whatever I would need. I'm not anticipating that, but I'm keeping the Mondays free just in case for this, because of such a big migration. And these are the things you have to think about. Do your due diligence, call the tech support, make sure you have access and you download all of the new versions that you need. Make sure if there's any kind of a data migration that you can do that. Have a checklist and then stick to it. Being overprepared is better than being underprepared. I am ready, and I'm sure there are going to be things that's going to happen that I didn't even think of on Saturday. I will report back next week on how the migration goes. We have some email, so let's get to some email here. The first one is a link from Kate. Have you tried installing it offline? And this is the .NET Framework 3.5 in Windows 10 using DISM. And no, I have not tried this, and I really got to try this. This is the client that has the problem with the stamps.com program. They can use it online, but they can't use the program. I need to do that. And she says there's a bat file at the end that is supposed to do it for you. I haven't encountered this problem, so I don't know if it solves it, but I don't remember you mentioning trying to do it this way. I did not. And the link will be in the show notes. And it's a great link from a WinAereo in offline install of .NET Framework 3.5 in Windows 10. This is a Microsoft-created problem by then making it so impossible, ripping out .NET Framework 3.5 and then making it an impossible hoop almost for you to install it. Yet there are a ton of software vendors that require it. Why? I don't get it. Let's just put more stress on us for our clients. Kate, thank you. I'm putting this out there. This is from Andy. Andy wrote in about CombiFix website for Windows 10 recommends Plumbytes. Plumbytes. And he wants to know if I've heard anything. And I said, I'm going to look into this. I'm afraid to use this. If you Google or look at Plumbytes, there is nothing positive at all. As a matter of fact, I think it creates more harm in dumping things at the startup of your system and creates more problems. I don't think this is a replacement for CombiFix for Windows 10. So I'm not recommending this, but I want to know, anybody that has experience with Plumbytes, let me know. Give me your feedback on this. I'm not recommending to use it. What I'm thinking of is downloading it on a test system on my test network and then making sure it's a system I got a good image of. So if it destroys it or does anything, I could just pop the image back. You definitely want to be careful and you want to test this in a sandbox environment. But Andy, we will get back to you on this. This is Cormac, regular listener. Creators Windows Edition comments. Hey, Mike, just to let you know, I bought a 2 Win 7 desktops for an office I was working for. This was last week before I heard your podcast about you having trouble with activation to 10. Both mine went to 10 with no problem. I've done them the two ways as a test. On a desktop, I loaded 10 inside 7 and uploaded it that way. The second one, I just booted straight from a 10 stick and used the product code, and again, no problem. I'll keep testing and let you know. But at the moment, no problem. Thanks from Ireland. I have seen the problem, and that's why I reported it, that I had to go to phone activation on a legitimate Windows 7 product key. I wanted to share what I went through, but Cormac, I'm glad you're not having the issue. I'm still sticking to my procedure where I'm going to go anniversary update, Windows 10. If it's a new install where I only have a Windows 7 product key, then activate, then do the creator's update. I know it's an extra step. This email is from David, software for nonprofits. You may have discussed this before. Do you have any experience with IT and selling software to nonprofits? I am not in IT, but I know my way around the building and fixing and installing software for personal use. A friend who belongs to a church asked me to talk to one of the church officers about installing Office on a new desktop. Long story short, I see Microsoft steers you to TechSoup.org to qualify for nonprofit status, then be able to get software from Microsoft and others for deep discounts. Do you use this method or what do you do? Thanks. David from Miami. David, I personally don't get the software. My two clients that are not for profit, they get it themselves. And I forget what site, it might be TechSoup.org. I'm going to find out and I will write back and I'll also put it in the show notes. But I personally don't buy it. They obtain the licenses and I know they are incredible discounts, like Office for $25 or something. I mean, it's just incredible discounts. We got incredible discounts passed to us when I was at the Franklin Institute because that was a not-for-profit and got deep, deep operating system, antivirus software. That's where we deployed Sophos and got this incredible, they were considered an educational entity and they were a .edu, the Franklin Institute. We got great, great software discounts. A lot of big software distributors are allowed to pass on those discounts if you qualify. David, thanks for the email. Last email for the night. This is from Paul. Hi, Mike. And it's an Outlook issue. I love the podcast and never miss it every week. I have listened to everyone since you started podcasting. I am having the most frustrating problem with Outlook. We use SureWeb hosted Exchange and all day the email will not send right away and seems to stay in the outbox for at least 15 minutes every time. I have checked the internet connections, router, cable, you name it. I have deleted and recreated the profile, started in safe mode, and still does not help. Wondering if you or anyone would have any suggestions. When troubleshooting Outlook, I want to run it as administrator. Do you know when you launch Outlook, you sometimes can't disable add-ins or add an add-in unless you run as administrator? So you got to actually find the executable. I want you to run it as administrator. Now, you said you tried safe mode. Are there any other things going on? You didn't mention, is it possible there's some malware involved here? Is it everybody or just one user, one system? What if you took another computer and just created a profile for that user on that computer that's not having a trouble? Does it work for them? Is there a possible account issue? I don't know. But also, SureWeb has very good tech support. And if you find that you really think it's on SureWeb's side, reach out to them. It's 800 number. They're in Canada. And they have pretty good support. So I highly recommend that you look if you know there's no network issue. Run JRT, run Adware Cleaner, run some of the standard programs and just give it a good clean. Did you do an Outlook repair, an Office repair? You don't mention what version of Outlook, and you also don't mention what Exchange hosted version you are using on SureWeb. Redo Office repair. Maybe even reinstall Office and then create the profile. But if something is getting stuck in the outbox, normally that's a network connection. Now, something that I've seen, and I haven't seen it with SureWeb so much as I've seen it with Google or something. Is there something stuck where they're trying to send something too big? You know, I'm just wondering, and that's kind of clogging up the send. How did you configure the profile? Did you manually configure it, or did you auto-discover? Just by me asking all these questions, I'm giving you possible roads to look at to try to come to a solution for this. So, Paul, let me know how you make out. Want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. Program just keeps getting better and better and better. I use that all the time for migrating anybody from one system to another, one operating system to another. Tech Site Builder at TechSiteBuilder.com. That's where you go for getting your tech website built. Computer Business Kit version 3. Incredible kit of all the forms you would need for your business. And of course, please continue to use my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. That's the best way to support the show. And I got good news coming. Amazon contacted me, and this is for my Canadian and my UK listeners. I will have links that it's just been taking some time. But anybody in Canada that you want to buy from Amazon, I'm going to have a Canadian link. I'm going to have a UK link that I can now legitimately merge with my regular Amazon account, affiliate account. So I am looking forward to that. And I have been contacted by many, many Canadian listeners and UK listeners that want to help support the show. You're going to be able to. So looking forward to that. And that, of course, the link is amazon.micnation.net. That's it. Thank you so much for staying subscribed and listening to the show and hanging out with me, for everybody who's here live in the chat. Thank you. I will see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.